I'm plugged into the Agora's nexus. We need the whole community connected. We're the alternative collective. Self-sufficient and effective.
So, another day in fucking hell. This is the Agora's Nexus podcast. Few liner notes before we get started is that Dag will be out for a little bit, but he's going to come back and we're going to get back to episodes with him. There's going to be like one or two episodes with either just me or a guest. So we'll figure that out as we proceed, but I needed to say that to do that. And also, speaking of Dag, be sure to go to Agora's Acres Seeds and use code NEXUS for 20% off your purchase, and 20% goes to the Nexus so that we can continue spamming you with conspiracy theories and pissing off the government. Additionally, liner notes, we're being censored actively on a regular basis. Three of our videos have been taken down on YouTube, and that's like channel threatening like levels there. So if you want to see us like post these videos, you're going to need to go to either Anchor FM, where they're going to start being posted, or you're going to need to go to Odyssey, because Odyssey is the only truly decentralized platform that we're posting these videos to, and YouTube literally wants us gone. So if you want to make sure that you still get access to our content, you need to make sure that you're following us on Odyssey. There will be a link to a tweet. You can retweet about that in the description as well. And also click the link in that to support the channel by following it on Odyssey. The more channels, like followers and support we get there, the more of you repost our videos, the more of you boost our content, watch, like, etc. there, the better we can do. And the more likely we are to continue being able to do this shit. How you doing, Dag?
Oh, not bad, man. Not bad. I'm like, going to be out for a little bit. Just work stuff. I'm a little overwhelmed. No, I'm going to be a little busy, but it's good. We've been a little slow at work. So when it rains, it pours, I suppose. I'm not going to be upset about it. But yeah. So we're, we're getting some recording in here ahead of time. So yeah.
And hey, speaking of rain, it just rained in Florida. And speaking of Florida, DeSantis. That's a segue. Did that work?
To Satan? Let's see the other one. Rhonda Santis is another favorite one that I hear. And then Death Santis. That was a popular one amongst the pro COVID crowd for sure. So
they should call him just Stalin, because like he's hiring a bunch of fucking cops, so he might as well be just Stalin.
He is, and it's I don't know. Let me say this. So I'm going to say that personally, I don't feel the government much in my life these days. Part of that is design. I'm not a fan of DeSantis, and I have a lot of criticisms. Of course, the police state wet dream that, he likes to have, the same kind of thing like with the governor, or not governor, I'm sorry, the sheriff of my county. A lot of people really like him because he's tough on crime or, whatever. And people, a lot of people really like that. You know what I mean? I guess the counter argument that people will make, not necessarily pro DeSantis, but let's say like, okay, what would the alternative have been? Would have been Gilliam, which, I wouldn't have been thrilled about that either. Things with COVID might have been a little rougher as far as lockdowns go, but I defer back to how much would have really mattered in my life. Probably not much. I do a pretty good job of avoiding government where I live. We just, I don't really think people gave much of a, they didn't care much about the COVID stuff. Some people wore masks, some people didn't. Nobody ever got on me about not. People sort of mind their own business around here. So, I don't know, man, but people, I'll tell you what, he is one of those, just for being around here, people either love him or they hate him. It's definitely funnier to see the people who hate him melt down about him, but that's just because, I don't know. It's just funnier sometimes. I really think he's probably going to be our governor again. I can't imagine Crist winning coming up again. Not that I'm a fan about DeSantis. I don't, Oh, I don't know the Chris would be any better in there, you know. Maybe not as overtly police statish, but of course, just like with the Democrats, they might be more like friendly. But the policies they want to enact obviously require force, you know. Lots of taxation. They really want to do a lot of what you call it, rent control, things like that in a lot of these cities that are policies I don't enjoy either. So, you know, just like when the, you know, like let's say the post-libertarian crowd tries to like convince me that I would be better off voting for a Republican versus a Democrat, I just 6-1, half dozen the other, man. Like they all suck to me. It doesn't matter much to me at any rate, and I'm not going out of my way to vote or support for any of them.
Well, so what do you have against DeSantis? I'm curious.
DeSantis?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a lot of the cop stuff. Like he was paying whatever, paying big bonuses for cops to come from other states here, you know. So it's mostly police state stuff. You know, look, I've been getting so much literature and texts and stuff like for me to vote for him, like we discussed on the last show, you know. And you know, it's just comical to me. But he's always got, you know, he's got the picture of him in his JAG uniform. I mean, he was what, a military officer, a lawyer? Is he a lawyer? For them, something like that. And at any rate, you know, I have a lot less respect for military officers than regular military personnel, because usually you suck a lot of ass to get there, you know what I mean. I'd invite anybody to check out my buddy Pat Watson's book, Fuck Bureaucracy, which is pretty quick read, but it sort of goes through some really basics as to why if you're an officer in the military, it means you're not, it's not really a good thing, you know what I mean. I'll kind of leave it at that. You know, it doesn't usually, it means you lied, you covered stuff up. It means you had people in high places that helped you get there. So that's not really a mark of good hard work, in my opinion. But a lot of people hold that. He was a JAG officer or whatever. That's high standard. Obviously, he's a great guy, whatever. That doesn't hold much water with me. In fact, it's kind of thing like, well, if you made it that far in that field, you probably suck, you know? So
it's almost,
you know,
like he's a JAG officer.
Yeah. That's JAG officer. That's a big one for me, man. I'm not a fan of cops, you know. I mean, otherwise you parse that aside, I mean, what's the real difference between any other politicians, you know what I mean? It's not just
bonuses
so.
To come there too, it's like, mm-hmm. It's also bonuses for being a cop if you were already there, mm-hmm. Like just here, have some more money, you're mm-hmm. a cop, that's all you get had to do to be. And then in addition to that, telling them that if they didn't quell riots, if they didn't fuck up people who were doing riots, that they would be fired, mm-hmm. and denied funding. That's martial law territory. It means that you can't protest in Florida anymore.
Right. And, you know, and there's something like, I don't need to explain myself to you people. Obviously, I don't need to throw this asterisk in there that I'm not a fan of cops or what have you.
For
anarchists. Or the government. Yeah. The government doing anything.
If you decide to do what you should and be based and share this with friends and family and annoy your pastor with it, then feel free, because most people got like just watch it or like just see the tweet and retweet it. But like share it, you know, actually tell somebody why they should want to like watch this content, etc. You know, if you're going to do that, then maybe we'll need to explain why your friend should still like be on board. So yeah. Go for it though.
So again, like I'm not like pro like police action, right? But like, I mean, in a, you know, in our stateless society or Agoristan or in Capistan or whatever you want to call it, right? There's a need for security and security, you know, companies or forces or whatever you want to call them. And we would want them to do their job of protecting property and protecting life, you know? So what's really frustrating when there's like, you know, when we see like the riots or whatever you want to call them, like in 2020, the George Floyd nonsense is, you know, when there's is active, you know, like, you see instances where cops just like put down protests that are unnecessary, or cops incite them to be worse than they would have been or be violent, you know,
like the AutoZone guy who just walks mm-hmm. up, smashes multiple windows and then walks away. He wasn't involved and people told him not to.
The pallets of bricks that mysteriously appeared around the cities. You know what I mean? Shit like that. But then
that one guy who in Washington, D.C. at the January 6th thing, who was on the FBI's public list, and then they were like, whoops, we put one of our guys on the public list, and then he was just off of it.
and so like So there's definitely that. But then when you do see people who, like, you know, like, I'm a small business owner, man. Like, you see people have like a small business and it's getting looted or whatever, and the police do nothing about it. And it's just like, so then what's your even point? You know, like, what's the point of you even fucking being here? You know, it's like, okay, if you could actually have an argument, if I could see them out there doing like good things, because there are certainly actions that police could take in those times of riots that would be beneficial to greater society, right? But they don't take those actions. So it's, you know, it's,
and
just,
the state criminalizes you doing jack shit on your own in Florida. God, it's so fucking infuriating that people don't know this, but if you're in Florida, you can't open carry unless you're also fishing. What the fuck?
Yeah, I, you know, I'd love open carry to come about. Just, I'm not an open carry guy personally. I'm not against it, but I just don't want to be arrested for brandishing because I reach for something on a high shelf in the grocery store.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
But also, like, it's not just that. It's the fact that cops open carry too.
Right.
It's like, you're armed. You're armed, sir, you piggy. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. So otherwise, it's, you know, he's endorsed by the sheriffs and whatnot, you know, but, you know, if it was a Democrat governor in there, then just the other half of the counties in Florida would be endorsing him just the same, you know what I mean? To get money from him and get equipment, you know? So it's all, they all suck. And I don't know. Do you think, I'd be curious to this, and then we can, I don't know, there might be enough politics for the Agora show, but do you think that DeSantis, do you think he's going to take like a serious run at like presidency? Like, I mean, I feel like
people
in Florida don't want him to do that, but I don't know who else the Republicans really have to run. You know, they have slightly better stable than the Democrats do.
But like, ultimately that wouldn't matter. Like, you know, part of the thing is that agorists should be made familiar with this so that they're better at messaging to their family and friends and shit. Like, talk with your family and friends about this shit at dinner. You know, religion and politics shouldn't be blah, blah. Shut the fuck up. Do like these discussions. If you can't talk about it with your family and friends, how are you even messaging? Why would you think that you can handle a full scale like revolution, or even just like your local town dealing with martial law or something, if you can't even talk to mom? But like, yeah,
let me tell you a quick story on that note, real quick. Okay. I was in Tampa and I was at a diner getting some breakfast a couple months ago. And one of my favorite things to do is sit at a bar or diner and just listen to other dumbasses next to me talk to each other, you know? And there was a dude who he was running for the city council or the county commission or something like that in Hillsborough or Tampa. And he used to be a police officer, you know? And most of he's sitting there making his pitch to the guy sitting next to him. And most of the stuff, you know, the COVID lockdowns, nonsense, you know, opposing this, that, the other, tax hike, not, you know, cool, you know, all that. Okay, cool. But then he starts saying, and this is a semi-true fact, except his numbers were wrong. And this is what bothered me, but he was like, do you know that only, you know, what is it? 536. And this is like the actual number. It's like 536 federal elected positions like exist. So the, you know, you only get to vote on like three or four federal people, right? Like, you know, so the whole democracy thing's stupid. But he said, you know, there's only like 200 elected federal positions or something like that. And I'm going, no, there's 535 in Congress, the Senate, and then like the president. So it's like 230 or 536. And I looked it up and like that was accurate, like what I thought. And I'm like, this fucker is like running for office and doesn't even know like basic like American like government rules, you know what I mean? And it's just, I'm like, what the, you know, and a friend who's like, you know, oh, well, you know, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good or whatever. I'm like, who says that's good? You know, like a former cop who doesn't even know anything about government, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, I'm thinking on the surface, I should know less about government than this dude. But then I'm like, oh no, wait, I hate government. I probably know a lot more about government than people who like government, you know, or are running for government. I probably actually factually know a lot more, you know, about it. But it is just funny in that regard, because I do, you know, as an anarchist and especially in Agora,
yeah,
particular disdain for politics, yet I know way more about it than most people. But that might be why, right?
Yeah. Well, and so talk to your family and friends. Get them informed. I've been at this with my family long enough that when we have our weekly calls, which we have one a week with my father and sister, and then one a month with my sister and mother, I keep in contact with my family. And I'm exactly like I am right now with them. I'm exactly like it. And this used to be a point of contention, but now they're used to it. And they actually are starting to see a lot of the things that I was saying happening. And so they like, when Trump got elected, or, you know, in my view, selected, they were asking me questions. When, you know, I was proven right about the lab leak, they started to be more sympathetic to that. Talk to them. Talk to your people. If you can't talk to your people, then you're lost. And the reason I'm saying all that is, one of the things you should say while you do that is you should bring up the fact that Republicans and Democrats are not competing. It's not a matter of, like, having a better Republican than the Democrat, or perfect enemy of good, or blah, blah, partisan, blah. It's what it is it's recognizing that for every bit that DeSantis is tough on crime, he wouldn't be able to be tough on those crimes if it weren't for Joe Biden and his fucking crime bill, or Joe Biden and the Patriot Act he takes credit for. Joe Biden is responsible for a huge amount of police statism and domestic surveillance and civil rights abuses. And Democrats love him because they're pieces of shit and they don't actually care about your freedom, your civil rights. They don't care about LGBTQ because they're helping him fund Ukraine. They don't care about protecting minority rights because they're helping him jail black and brown people under laws that he won't use to snitch on his fucking son. He's a fucking monster. He's a fucking monster who sniffs kids. He's fucking piece of shit. And you should know that enough to be able to talk to your family about it and say, hey, he's a piece of shit monster who sniffs kids. You know, he's not that much different. Without people like him, people like DeSantis wouldn't have any teeth. And if you don't like DeSantis, maybe don't like the people who are pumping huge amounts of money into the federal police budget by the tunes of like $30+ billion this year, and then $30+ billion more over the next decade due to the Safer America Act. If you don't like DeSantis's police statism, why are you helping the person who's giving them the cops? So that's my. I'm very angry about that subject. You can probably tell.
It's funny. You know, I mentioned I have a lot of friends who really despise him, and it's comical to me, and not because I like DeSantis, but just because they're pretty I have a particular friend who's she's very, oh, we're going to be living in Handmaid's Tale very soon because of DeSantis. And I'm like, weren't you extremely pro mask a year ago? You were the one trying to put masks on people, you know? And then, of course, to your point, you know, everybody that she wants to vote for is, very progressive Democrat and hugely controlling. You know what I mean? She's like, I've never before as an American felt afraid to speak out against my government, you know? And I felt like that, the meme, the James Franco meme, you know, first time, you know, oh, bless your heart.
Woo! Fucking the Bundys want a word with you, bitch.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's just anytime people just blow things so out of proportion with something, it's just comical to me. I'm not typically much an arguer, contradictionalist, what's the word, contrarian, you know what I mean, just for the sake of it. But there's some things not even people I disagree with, I'm not a flat earther, but people who are really adamant globe earthers or really hate flat earthers, I pretend I'm a flat earther for a couple minutes, or just I don't know why, it's just so much fun to me. I'm not a flat earther, but it's just some things just I just like to take the devil's advocate just for fun. And that's one of the couple things.
Well, you know, because the thing. Okay, so.
Sorry, we don't have to go down a flat earth.
Philadelphia move is a good example.
Yes, that is.
Black Wall Street is a good example. Even from a totally Democrat position, you should oppose what happened to the people at Move and Black Wall Street. And you should recognize that that's what happens to anyone who sufficiently steps out of line. Mm-hmm. That's everyone. And if you don't like the cops, if you don't like racism, if you don't like Republican fascists, then why enable the people who enable them? And why help that ratchet effect by saying, hey, yeah, we'll accept these temporary little increasements in tyranny that somehow never go away because it's not Republicans doing it. You know, it's not Republicans funding these Nazis. If they were, that would be concerning. And we could talk about how Trump, you know, gave neutral or wishy-washy or positive support to the people at Charlottesville, saying, you know, like, some of them, I assume, are good people. So who cares if he did that if it's not bad to fund them? Shut the fuck up.
You know, it's funny when you say it like that, too, because, like, you know, like, the Republicans tend to be, like, the anti-drug warriors, or that's, like, their the vision of them. Yet, of course, as we look at history, you know, let's Biden, you know, great example with the bills he's passed. But the dude who made pot illegal was FDR. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, you'd think if Republicans really wanted to be so contrarian against Democrat shit that they'd be like, let's legalize pot. You know, like, well, that's some stupid anti-freedom bullshit, but you're absolutely right that they use stuff that Democrats pass, you know, as you know, the things to push their police state
smoked pot kind of and shit. Printed the Declaration and Constitution on hemp.
Yeah. Well, but it is, you know, they are just hand in hand, as much as people like to say how different they are. And okay, you know, you can give me some examples of here, smaller, this or that, you know, whatever, but like, dude, they're
cosmetic differences.
Yeah, I mean, it's ultimately like you said, even the I think you make the best point there that they're enforcing democratic laws or democrat laws, you know, that they would think they would be so opposed to. You know, I know we were going to talk about this a little bit later, but I want to at least mention this. Now we were talking about the Biden pot thing, you know, him, the federal possession nonsense. But one of the things that I really hate about that coming out, it's obviously a midterm political fucking nonsense thing, right? But what right. I really hate about
otherwise,
it...
otherwise, he would have done it like right away when he promised he mm-hmm. would.
But what I hate about it, especially living in a state where our governor is like kind of a big, very openly political enemy with the president, right? Is like, oh, great. Now all the red states, since he said, I call on all the governors of states to do this too. Oh, great. No red state's going to legalize pot now because they can't, you know, they have to be... like an opposition. So I'm like, great, we're not getting recreational in Florida anytime soon. Thanks a lot, Biden. You know, you really just sealed that deal.
But you can get medicinal at Circle K now.
Something like
which
that.
Which means that there's going to yeah. be a lot of people pulled over for driving under the influence.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've got dispensaries. I mean, it's strictly medicinal, you know, but we've got dispensaries all over the place, which is so weird. It's I was saying to a friend one time, we're sitting in a parking lot, let's say, discussing pot, and across the street is a dispensary. And I'm like, isn't it funny that over there it's legal, but doing the exact same act on this side of the street would be like, you know, like, you know, selling weed. You'd be like, oh, you're going to prison. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just so fucking stupid. And I have I have a family member who got a card. For a while, which is fine, like, cool, should be legal, whatever, but it's $300 a year just to have the card. Like, it's mm-hmm. it's just it's such a racket. And I know every state's had their own saga with their medicinal legalization thing, and it's always unique, but yeah, Florida's went on for years before it being voted in, to before any patient was actually given it, because they had to go through all the court stuff of what companies are going to be allowed to sell it. And it's like the five companies that are allowed to grow it and sell it. And they're all politically connected, you know, one way or the other, just like everything. So it's why I'm not like a fan of legalization, like on that sense, but I am just always happy when people can be a little less worried about getting locked up, you know, at least the common users, you know, if you're a dealer or something, you kind of sign up, that's kind of the point of your business is to be good at avoiding going to prison. I still don't want them to go to prison either, obviously, but I'm happy when the little people have to worry a little less about it. That's all.
And then there's the other half of it, which is that like Biden only pardoned like 6,000 people allegedly.
Go ahead.
Who weren't in prison because they like, you know, they weren't in prison for simple possession, meaning that most of the people who are in prison are staying in prison, even if it was just, you know, victimless, nonviolent drug offenses, mm-hmm. Even if it was just some pot And then, but like they were speeding at the same time. And then, like, he won't get rid of civil asset forfeiture, which incentivizes cops to, you know, steal from people. He won't get rid of qualified immunity, which lets cops do whatever the fuck they want, which incentivizes them even further to be brutal, like gang style fucking thugs. He won't get rid of the, like, he won't pardon the federal offenders who did, like, you know, trafficking. In other words, mm-hmm. like moving the product from the place to another place.
That would be the majority, you know, of federal offenses for yeah. pot, because it's to make it a federal offense, it's got to be crossing state lines or some big Fed bust. Otherwise, most pot shit's at the state level. So yeah, this is nothing, dude.
And you also can't, like, merchandise it. So, like, if you were, like, either the person moving it to the store or marketing it at the store, that would be more than simple possession. So he doesn't give a fucking shit about, like, you know, the common person or their weed. What he cares about is stopping his image from looking bad. That's what he cares about, because he promised to do, like, legalization and has taken precisely zero steps toward that. And he's not pardoning the people who distribute it. He's not pardoning people who manufacture it, which means
to the
that
legal
saying,
companies.
Yeah, which means that what he's really saying is that I'm going to pander to a certain group of people and get a massive amount of media coverage for like 6,000 people, but I'm going to replace those prisons very quickly while putting all this money back in the economy by getting these people jobs and stopping barring them from shit. And so then these people are suddenly pumping money into the economy. He gets to fill the prisons with more weed offenders because these weed offenders are out. And he gets the prison industrial complex still from that. And it's not like the laws are away. It's not like the federal laws have been, like, EO'd away or whatever.
And he's no laws just, been changed. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just pardoning, like, a tiny sliver of people. And everybody acted like he was the second coming of Christ.
Nothing's been reclassified. Like, nothing's.
Yeah.
That'd be the easiest thing to do, yeah. is just reclass it from a class one narcotic to what, a class three or something down the line. That'd be the easiest thing. Like, I'm pretty sure he could just do that with a pen. He's like, we're looking into it. And it's like, dude, you could just all your fucking executive orders. You can't do that.
Rescheduling would involve a lot more than just a single executive order. But
oh, really?
It, like, yeah. But like the fact that he didn't work on that at all until like now, and now he's doing this pandering bullshit, which basically hit nobody. It's all the evidence that anyone needs, you know?
Mm-hmm. But, dude,
you got to pull off your earphones while I scream into the mic.
No, I'm just trying. It's something about it was uncomfortable. I'm new earphones. First time using them. I'm trying to get a good feel for them. It's hurt my ear. Mm. But do you hear the good news, though? I saw on the news today that the deficit is down 50%, and they're all bragging about it. And then when you look, it's like, oh, you mean it's exactly what it was before 2020? Like, just because of all the, like, COVID spending, it's, like, sort of pulled back. They're like, oh, look at this. We're bragging about the deficit being cut in half.
It's, like, projected. And
probably something like that, too, yeah.
And this will stop at the end of the silly season. The deficit is going to absolutely crater next February. Next February, watch the deficit absolutely fucking skyrocket. While Biden doesn't do anything to manage the crisis he has contributed to causing. February 2023.
Speaking of projections, they're saying, I remember seeing Biden, or the administration says a recession is highly unlikely. And then I saw, like, yesterday, it's like, yeah, 100% chance of a recession. Like, I mean, we knew that. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's like, okay, guys, like, I don't know, man. It still just blows my mind that people take it seriously. You know,
are your housing markets crashing? are the main billionaire publications telling you that you won't be able to afford a home? Are they telling you to own nothing and be happy while the economy that's been fucked over for decades is now transitioning onto a digital dollar to recover? Is all of this occurring alongside the greatest wealth transfer in history? Is all that happening while the corporations are doing better than ever and the common person is being suppressed at greater levels than ever, while tens of billions are being sent to Ukraine that could solve the homelessness problem, which is growing by the day with ever greater evictions and rent loss, and as the eviction moratorium collapses? Is all this happening alongside the single greatest stimulus in history, when Biden printed $1,400 for each American citizen that he promised would be 2,000, because he'd rather send that money overseas and to the military-industrial complex, while the military-industrial complex outperforms the S&P by magnitudinal amounts? That's not a recession!
I got a letter from the White House just to brag about them fulfilling the promise of the $2,000 checks, but they were like, we sent you the $600 in addition to the $1,200 that you got from Trump, thus fulfilling our promise of. And I'm like, you sent me a letter just to fucking brag about.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not even, I'm reading, you didn't send me $2,000, motherfucker. Like, it's just, oh, it's fucking insane, dude. What are you going to do?
And of course, he's sending like tens of billions to Ukraine to fund things like their Azov Battalion kids camps. You know,
let's talk about these kids camps. I haven't heard of these kids camps. What, I mean, what are these, like, I don't know. I can't even draw. I can't even think of a comparison. I was going to say, like,
that's because there's
the Hitler Youth or something, but I don't really know much about the Hitler Youth camps, in all honesty. So
that's because there's nothing like it in the U.S. that's like officially sanctioned by the U.S. government to funnel people into the U.S. government. There is things like Hitler Youth in the U.S. obviously, but like ultimately those are like fringe groups that have to really sneak into the U.S. government. These ones were just openly getting into National Guard battalions, because that's what Azov movement is. It's a way to like legitimize Nazis. So basically there was a Guardian piece on this video piece in 2017, so like this has been known about for fucking ever. And they have kids camps there directly just run by the Azov Battalion, where the Azov Battalion is teaching them how to use grenades, how to get proper shots off, giving them like boot camp style physical training, all while they're running around with their Nazi symbols, many of which are tattooed onto their body. And teaching them to say Slava Ukraini and glory to Ukraine, like that's what that means. Death to the enemy, like
no wallet making or camp Camp Olympics though, nothing like that. None of the good old fun activities we did at summer camp.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, and that was what the piece highlighted, is that these kids were saying, you know, other countries send their kids to camp for amusement. This one is for something more. And the first kid they interviewed was like, I need to be more obedient, so I'm going to this camp. And they're teaching him to be obedient to Nazis, while he describes the fact that, oh yeah, these people have all these Nazi tattoos, maybe that's a problem. And his mother was just like, yeah, but you like that stuff. Literally in the video she says, yeah, but that's what you like. And he was like having a hard time countering that, because that's what that country is. It's full of a bunch of Nazi sympathizers. And like they have these kids throwing off the Ukrainian Nazi salute of this. That's what that is. Whenever you see this, that's the Ukraine's version of this.
All right.
Yeah. And so they've got that. They've got the Wolfsongel. They've got the Sonnenrad. They've got all this other stuff, right? Everywhere in these camps. And this was done in 2017, when the Guardian was more okay with talking about how there's an extremist Nazi problem in Ukraine and maybe the U.S. government shouldn't be supporting them. Now, whoo boy, you must be that Russian commie nonsense if you bring up any of this. You got Nazis everywhere, come on. You got to be okay with it now. You got to get with the program. Get on track.
Oh man, speaking of overhearing boomers at bars, man, it's ever since the Ukraine thing's been going off. Man, these old dudes who think they're military expert. Oh man, we could have, they should have done this or that. And then you hear a couple of guys, I've heard tactical nukes come up once or twice, fly on the wall, real life conversation. Oh my God, you are fucking insane. Whew, scary, man. Scary, these people who think that like these like wannabe like warmongers and stuff, man. It's crazy. Most of them are not very tough themselves, in my opinion, you know.
All from the comfort of their fucking bars or their armchairs or whatever.
Yeah, it's like I served, and it's like, yeah, there's no war going on, dude. Shut up.
And
Oh, man.
like ultimately, like that's the thing. I get so I criticize this because Politico got to wax all fucking like superior because they tweeted this thing out that says in 1990, this was before she was elected, well, in my opinion, selected. People know my views on democracy and how it's all a scam, but Politico Europe was all like, in 1992, a 15-year-old schoolgirl went to join her local branch of the far-right youth front in Rome. The all-male group of radicals met her with bemusement. 30 years later, Giorgia Meloni is on course to become Italy's first female prime minister. Waxing indignant and repulsive, and oh my God, how could anyone let this happen? And it's like Politico is like, if polls are correct, Brothers of Italy leader Meloni will become the country's first female prime minister in Sunday's election. Who is she? And they like wrung their hands and got all fucking. And like, so I posted that, and then I posted a screenshot where these kids are saying death to enemies in Ukraine. And this was from The Guardian in 2017, like basically exactly 5 years ago. And it was saying in Ukraine, the far right Azov militia is fighting on the front line and running a summer camp for children. And you see them all lined up in their fucking camo shorts with their like Nick Fuentes little swoop haircut, and like all of them looking like this because that's the Nazi thing, you know? And I should have done it this way, by the way. I think that's the proper arm. You're supposed to use your right arm, like because it's a right wing thing.
We used to
So
do that move, but it meant like something else when we were in school.
yeah, right. So my point was, Giorgia Meloni joins a far right group at 15, becomes increasingly radical over the years, and is now Italy's prime minister. Western media, fascism! She's a fascist! Someone should have stopped this! And Ukrainian Nazis training kids at a summer camp run by the Azov movement? Western media, 2022, crickets?
It's just Italy getting back to their roots.
Yeah, right. And of
Not really
course,
that out of line for Italy, whatever.
I've got people on Facebook like super irritated with me for speaking facts they don't like, because like, oh, you Russia, my Russian propaganda Kremlin, stooge Vladimir Putin, paid asset troll, bot shill. This happens every single time. Every single time I criticize Ukrainian Nazis. And that should say everything anybody needs to know. The whole thing is fucking evil. And people just let it happen because it's not like they're in power exactly now. We can help the Nazis now. Allegedly not in power, because like ultimately the Azov battalion is directly affiliated with right sector C-14, Svoboda, and Patriot of Ukraine, some of which are defunct, but all of which have trickle-down effects through the whole political system, not the least of which is that the VA is literally run by an ex-member of Azov. So, and then the whole world has this movement for it. where like Western people are getting radicalized toward it. So I feel like it's good to bring it up. Like I harp on Ukraine a lot in this podcast, but it's because it's valuable to bring it back up over and over and over again to keep people informed that this problem has been real for like a decade, basically. And the West has helped them every step of the way. The West has helped the rise of Nazis every step of the way. And we're almost edging up on like a century from when the US is helping the Nazis before triggered World War II. So we need an anniversary celebration.
Speaking of huge world powers that are supported financially and weaponrealistically by the United States. Is that a decent segue to Saudi Arabia
Yeah.
if you're ready?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So this I know that you do a little bit on Saudi Arabia from time to time. We talk a little bit on here, and I saw this article. I thought you might enjoy it. Let's see here. So this it's from some Indianapolis thing, wishtv.com. I don't. Oh no, wait. I'm sorry. This is the man sentenced to 5 years for machine gun possession. Sorry, different one. That's 3D printed guns. Okay, this is from a publication called Responsible Statecraft. I have no idea how good they may or may not be. Bear with me here. But anyhow, the headline of this one is "Why is Saudi Arabia jailing Americans for mean tweets?" A 72-year-old man was visiting. When he was tortured and imprisoned for criticizing the kingdom while living in the US. This is by Allison McManus and Ali Hardari, Melody Hall. I'm so sorry. Let's see here. So, okay, as clamor over Saudi Arabia's recent decision not to increase oil production as part of OPEC continues to rise, the Saudi regime has once again proved itself an unreliable ally, this time sentencing a U.S. citizen to 16 years in prison for tweeting. Saad Ibrahim Almadi, a 72-year-old project manager, was convicted and sentenced earlier this month after having spent nearly a year in detention. Certainly not the first time the kingdom has targeted Americans in a brutal crackdown that has ensnared regime critics, women's rights activists, and business and political elite. So basically, they go on to talk about some of the ways that they do this to silence people even outside of their borders. So we remember the what was his name? Chigoni or something?
Jamal Khashoggi.
Yeah, Shikogi. Damn it. I'm so bad at this. I'm sorry, guys. I'm bad at names.
Well, and the other one was Ali Dari, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, where they came up missing. If you agree that that's a term that that makes sense, that isn't a logical absurdity, but came up missing, so to speak. And I think it came out that he did like die, like he did like get like murdered or something.
Not only
Officially.
did it come out like that, but like they found recordings where it was all like on recording, and
Oh,
also.
Jesus.
And also, like, the fact that he went into the hotel room and then didn't come out, they apparently what they did was they tortured him for a bit and then they killed him and then they chopped him into pieces and took his pieces out one by one.
Oh, okay. Efficient. So there's I guess there's a few Saudi Arabians who are, you know, they're American citizens, they're over here and they get really targeted. Let's see, Abdullah Al Odah, a Saudi scholar and research director at Democracy for the Arab World Now, has been the subject of a years-long surveillance, intimidation, and harassment campaign at the hands of the Saudi regime, all while living in supposed safety in the United States. Over the course of the last decade, he has this gentleman, Al Odah, is the son of a detained Saudi cleric. Has had his phone tapped, followed by Saudi officials while attending the University of Pittsburgh. So while here, now what they actually do is they will. So if you're over here in the U.S. or whatever, and they don't like you, they'll kidnap like your family members, your friends. They'll torture, detain your people, and to pressure you to come back for your punishment, so to
Yeah.
speak. In 2018, Canada-based Saudi exile Omar Abdulaziz learned that his mobile phone had been infected with Pegasus spyware. Later, Saudi authorities detained two of his brothers and dozens of his friends to
That's
coerce
also how
them
they
to
found
further the
Khashoggi.
kingdom. Okay, same kind of thing. But yeah, so this has happened a lot. They go on to talk about a bit of this stuff. They go on to talk about how the U.S. still sells them weapons and we're still friendly with them despite all this stuff, you know. And you could even say, okay, it's one thing if they're just whatever, they're just mean and they do bad things, but they do these things to American citizens. So, like, obviously I'm not like, oh, I can, you know, but they claim to protect us. You know, they claim that they will protect us. That's supposed to be why they exist and we're supposed to need them. And they, when they blatantly don't, you know, it's really easy to say, I don't believe you. You don't represent me. Mm-hmm. Stop lying, you know, but this is just another, and I mean, obviously this is something that Saudi Arabia is doing.
As soon as you said, I don't believe you, fucking soy on Pierre de Dor. I'm a loser, baby. So why don't you kill me?
Fucking, double bear, you know. Buckshot.
Yep.
So that's that's about what I got with this. So you got any?
Anyway.
Obviously, this is a little bit of an editorial piece, but this quote, recent calls from Congress to reconsider ties with Saudi Arabia have focused almost exclusively on its failure to support the U.S. position on Russian aggression in Ukraine by resisting an increase in oil production. But a consideration of the relationship based only on Saudi's action with OPEC sends a chilling message. Even the most brazen crimes will pass with impunity as long as the oil keeps flowing.
And also, so there's that. There's also the fact that, like, it's not just oil. It's the fucking sovereign wealth fund throwing so much money at so many things. It's the fact that the wealth fund controls a significant amount of social media through, like, for instance, Al-Walid bin Talal al-Saud. And, like, all that stuff. And when you end up with that, you also end up with them building a new wall city. And this wall city is supposed to be able to hold 9 million people while, like, giving minimal footprint in the land. But basically they're building a giant piece of, like giant glass walls on the side of, on each, like, side of a custom built from scratch, like, set of skyscrapers, and it's supposed to, like, satisfy all of the needs without having any sort of, like, impact on the immediate environment, because you took all of this urban sprawl and you condensed it into a wall that's running a fucking really long way through this area.
Can I say what interests me? And I haven't done, like, any research on that thing, you know, whether or not it'll actually come to fruition or which thing, I don't know. But the one thing that I did find, like, interesting, I guess, about it is because it is, like, one of the challenges, like, you mentioned the word, their urban sprawl, you know, like, to get things in and out of said city. So it's almost like you could deliver to any part of the city very easily, right, by just coming to that part of, like, said wall. Which I thought, I guess, is a cool concept, but, like, I mean, I don't know. I'm not, like,
it also means that if one of those, it also means that if one of those transport lines goes down, you can't access that part of the wall anymore, or if that elevator section or whatever. It seems to me that this particular design is only going to cause concentration issues that will bottleneck pretty much anything at any given point.
Do you think this thing's actually coming to fruition, or is it like
they're already building it.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if it was a publicity kind of thing. It seemed from a little bit I'd seen about it as like a concept kind of thing. You know what I mean? But they're actually doing it, huh?
Yeah, apparently they're already building it. So, and they're building it with all this unethically earned money, and they're building it with all this unethically sourced power, and they're doing it because the West is totally fine being buddy-buddy with the genocidal country as long as its government isn't the one that is poking Ukraine.
Plan your vacations to the Wall City, guys. Just don't make mean tweets about it before you go.
Yeah. Certainly don't make content like we're making.
Well, I have no intent on going there.
Yeah. Ever. So all that's a problem, right? Mm-hmm. And then you end up with these, like, so there are so many businesses that Sovereign Wealth Fund has its fingers in. And so none of those businesses can criticize it, or those businesses will either lose funding or their executives will be targeted or something like that. Or they will have their Saudi offices shut down and lose contact with a significant amount of their money and have to curtail or go bankrupt or whatever. You know, that's where we are now, is that all these connections happen. So they all have to look out for each other, and they all have to, like, if Saudi Arabia is like, where we go one, we go all, you know, but for international relations, we're like, oh yeah, Saudi Arabia is destroying all this stuff. Let's help them, because if we don't help them, then we'll stop getting money. We like money. Money? Money. Money. Hey,
oh, I
money?
Like money.
I like money.
Mm-hmm. I like Jenny.
Oh, no, wait, oh, my balls.
Yeah. Sorry, I got the two movies switch swap there. I did have to say about Forrest Gump when we were talking about it, is that movie really did set the tone
for the
type of woman that I would be like attracted to, the skinny blonde southern girl, you know. But that's what like all the girls that like live near me look like when that movie came out and I saw it. So
yeah, but Jenny was also heroin chic in a very literal sense, so
yeah. You know, I thought you knew me better than that, Jeremiah. I thought,
right,
you
yeah,
the type of women I was attracted to, but
gotta go for that junkie status.
Wow, I didn't even put that together. Yeah, it really shaped my it really shaped my vision of attractive women. So
cool. Well, my the whole thing, so I see that's where they want us. They want us to be people who are blissfully ignorant and just hope to get what we need anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really good analogy, actually.
Yeah.
So
you know, I mean, it's the thing. People always like joke about it, like about like, oh man, I wish I was like dumber so the world would be like easier and more pleasant, you know? And like, I don't know. I don't know if I get on board with that, but sometimes I fantasize like, man, wouldn't it be great to just, you know, to just, you know, not think about stuff. But I don't know. Are those people really happy? I don't know. Probably not.
You'd have to start that way. You couldn't end that way, because knowing so much and then losing it all would feel like, and I know this from experience, would feel like, you know, something got taken from you, you know? So like, for instance, when I was on Spice, I had this really bad Spice trip, and I was screaming no in my poor friend's yard for like an hour. Don't do Spice. Anyone out there? Never. Not once. It's not worth it. And one of the things was with that Spice trip is that the reason I was so like terrified was because it reduced me to the mental age of 4. I lost all this information that I normally have. I didn't have access to it. It was ripped away from me all at once, and I thought I had made myself stupid for life and would need to be like, not only information, my personal faculties, like it was hard to move. I couldn't remember how to do simple things. I couldn't remember what shapes were. There's like a long series of things just gone. I was 4 again. And I can tell you from personal experience, once you have the information, getting the blindfold is the opposite of bliss. Maybe if you start out that way, you can be blissfully ignorant your whole life.
But it'd have to be the case. Yeah.
You can't just Cyrus blue pill yourself and have it all go away without you knowing and having the reference points and being terrified about what's around you.
It's like that movie Memento. Not as good the second time.
I have not seen it.
And it's like he comes out with some thing, and it's like it makes his he acquires this illness after, you know, a certain point in his life where he can't remember things for longer than like 10 seconds or something. He's trying to track down like his daughter's killer or something like that. So he has like these bits of information tattooed on himself so he can't forget it. It's not,
that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not the concept. I'm saying like it would suck to have that happen.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, you talk about like having amnesia or something and knowing that there's shit in your head you're supposed to know and not. It'd be a pretty terrifying thing.
Yeah. Yeah, for real.
All right.
And that's the thing, you know. If y'all want to support our information, we're trying to get you educated, you know. We're trying to help you get as much information as possible, and we don't want you to do the opposite. Personally, I advocate clean sobriety. And With all the money you save, not buying cigarettes, booze, that sort of thing, whatever drug is your drug of choice, instead of doing all that, you could support us with links in the description and help us spread this information far and wide. Like, you know, it wouldn't even be a fifth of a Bacardi from most of you a month that could go to helping spread this content to a ton more people and getting a lot more content out there. Because like if half our audience was willing to throw like $5 a month, you know, we would be set. So consider that. But like there's tons of ways to do that. And I gotta tell you, part of the reason I'm so into all this information stuff is because like I was already sort of into it before that, but having it all taken from me at once because of a decision I made, I'm making the opposite decision now. I'm clean and sober. I have been for four years, and I'm basically just fine with not ever being dumbed down like that again. And I think that is a good way to be, because if you get the desire to forget, it's because you don't have enough that you're fighting for in the present and want to remember. That's as far as I can tell.
I do enjoy mushrooms every 6 months and some you know some other things from time to time, but that's just me. Yeah, it's funny. You can if you look at my like Google reviews of like fast food restaurants, you can tell the days that I didn't smoke, because there is a 1-star review every one of those days to, like whatever corporate business I attended that day. It's pretty you can follow that pattern by looking at my reviews. Oh, Dag didn't smoke weed that day because Popeye's got a scathing review about sauces. So. Oh fuck. So anyhow, yep. Do we have anything else today? I had a couple of little things that we're going on, I don't know, about an hour or so. Okay, I've got some stuff, but I don't wanna hog all the stories if you got one.
Hey, you know, dude, like I normally am the one who talks most of the time, and I'm pretty sure I've talked most of this one too, so I don't fucking, right. Well, it's not a problem. And you'll be out, so like I'll be doing the thing anyway.
These are a couple quick ones, and they are 3D printing related, which I'm trying to get back to my roots a little bit there too. I've been slacking on the 3D printed stories and the tobacco illegalization stories. I used to cover those a lot too, but this one here, this just sucks. Just be careful out there, guys. A man sentenced to 5 years for machine gun possession, and what it was I guess he had. It doesn't give a lot of information in this article, but basically he had the Glock auto sears, 3D printed Glock auto sears. He pleaded guilty to 2 counts of possession of a machine gun, because that's what that means at that point, is that it's technically a machine gun. What was that, a 1934 or the 1986 firearm laws, one of those. So they just talk about that. Anyhow, dude's doing 5 years for him for some tiny pieces of plastic that are in a particular shape. So, you know, be careful out there with those guys. There are all sorts of prints out there for things like auto sears, for Glocks, and for ARs and stuff like that. So don't be silly with those, for sure. I'm not telling you what to print or what not to print. I'm just saying don't go to prison. So, and that was go ahead.
It's sort of like not financial advice, only in this case it's not firearmshal advice.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, do your thing, but just don't go to prison. That's what I want. And this was Indianapolis, in Indiana there. So, but that is a federal thing. I don't think that's legal in any state. And it would be one of those things that there are some, like Texas tries to do some interesting things sometimes in that regard, but these are still federal laws. So you might be in a cool state, but if the feds don't want to be a dick, they could. And people tend to not be tempted to test the courts in this regard, which is understandable if the alternative is, you know, doing time. So just, you know, my thing, just avoid the authorities at all costs. And then I had one other one here, and this is from Express, which is a UK daily, which I'm sure you are familiar with. 3D printed weapons in UK becoming an issue faster than expected. Which is cool, right? I also think that knife attacks are becoming an issue faster than expected there, but you know, that's another story. I guess there was a big bust on October 12th. Officers received components from a makeshift firearms factory in North London made using a 3D printer, which pictures showing showing gray plastic parts. They don't give much detail. It just says that the seizure was one of the largest ever conducted in the UK. And it marks a, quote, growing problem in the UK. That, of course, is subjective, whether or not you think it is a problem. The Met Commander Paul Brogdon says components, quote, could be used to create weapons. So could anything. But all right, investigators believe the firearms were.
You just drop a piece of like steel, like an like an ore, or some sort of like alloy on their desk, and you say, man, this is a weapon. This is a dangerous weapon. You could use this to make a weapon.
Mm-hmm. Could be used to create weapons. So, you know, it was just funny because that's like the thing.
A like screwdriver.
Yeah. Lots of things. You know, what's a tool? Well, that's the whole 80% lower debate, right? Is at what point is it no longer something that's almost a weapon, right? And that's the, you know, the thing here. Says that he added that 3D printed weapons is an emerging threat that continues to evolve. While the country has strict rules on owning firearms, such as highly stringent police-led background checks, 3D printed parts are becoming more commonplace. Researchers are finding a booming gun manufacture industry with a growing presence across Europe and the U.S., where manufacturing these parts is still legal. Of course, we're talking about the latter, the U.S. there. And there have been actually quite a few things I've seen where they bust what they call weapons labs in places like Europe, obviously, more specifically like England and things, or specific locations where they have somebody with a few printers busting stuff out. They have an image here from the Met Police of the parts of an FGC-9. So that's cool. Love seeing those things all over.
It's sort of like during our homeless episode where I think it was Sek Magora talking about how he wants to give homeless people FCG-9s.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, based.
Yeah, definitely. There was, man, I did read a story of a homeless dude getting busted with, I don't know if it was a functioning one, but with an FGC-9 in his bag. I think that was in the U.S. I don't know why they busted. Maybe he was a felon. I don't know. I don't remember the details. Let's see. Oh, they got a cool picture here of is it Cody? What's his name? Why am I forgetting his name? The guy who
Wilson?
Made the, yeah, Cody Wilson. Yeah, him holding the Liberator from back in the day, which is pretty cool. Well, another quote here: things have moved quite fast with the growing ghost gun issue in the USA. It's funny that, of course, he frames it as a ghost gun issue. You and I might frame it differently, but that's very funny. But he says many of the components are 3D printed, not so much the barrel. Blah blah blah. Of course, ghost guns are produced by private manufacturers, allowing them to circumvent corporate and government manufacturing requirements in the U.S. No serial numbers, and obtained by people who haven't obtained a license. We don't have that here, so that's kind of silly. What was that I thought was interesting here? I had a quote here. Let's see. Okay, here we go. I certainly anticipate more of this. The technology is out there, but expensive. It's not expensive, but it's cute that he thinks it is. Especially metal components are being printed. Okay, in fairness, the metal printers are still pretty expensive, but they exist and are getting cheaper. And you don't really need metal printing to print a lot of these things. It is a little bit different in Europe, of course, because here we can...
Also, is it a metal printer or is it a CNC mill?
Well, they're CNC mills, but they are... The metal printers are coming into existence.
Interesting.
Cody Wilson.
How does that work? I'm curious. Do you know how that works? Because I would. Is it liquid metal?
It's still additive manufacturing. But I believe it melts it at some point and then it re-solidifies. I'm sorry, I don't know.
Hot glue gun.
Kind of the same principle, I think, as the plastic.
Weird. That to me just sounds like a shatter risk. I don't know what metal they would use that wouldn't just like bacack on fucking impact with like explosive.
You got me on the spot here, dude, but it is something like it is like good metal. I think that it's not something like I'm gonna go buy like right now, but like, yeah, dude, it's starting to exist.
Interesting.
Cody Wilson's a company, the Ghost Gunner thing, I believe is what it was. They were CNC mills for making metal parts. I don't know the details, so I don't want to say, but yes, I have read some stuff about 3D printed metal. As to the as to the quality, like you're saying, I don't know. I feel like I remember it like being some sort of like good steel or like stainless steel or something crazy like that. But don't quote me on that.
Well, what
please.
We can say then, instead of that, instead of quoting you on that, mm-hmm. what we can say is that if you know these people who are responsible for these, like this kind of 3D printing, fucking hit us up, yo. And
yes,
like, you know, get them on our show. We will talk to your 3D printer people because that is of significant interest to the Agorist community. So, you know, hook us up, yo.
Yes, I need to get, I need to be a little more, I've been thinking lately, like, man, I used to be so up to date. I do. Now they're, it's cool though. And it's, you know, on the one hand, I'm like, man, I'm so bad about not staying up to date with all the 3D printed gun stuff. But what's cool about it is that there's so many groups doing it now. It's like every day I'm finding a new developer, like, you know, on existing on Twitter or something that like, I'm like, oh shit, I didn't know about this person. They're working on this project, that project. You know, it's getting to be so much that there's drama between the groups now, which I hate, but I think that's just what happens when things get big enough. I mean, look at the Liberty movement, right? So like the fact that like there's, well, even
the Liberty like, movement as it were. I mean, I wouldn't even say a lot of these people are in the Liberty movement. They're not Liberty anything.
I know. It's just when something gets big enough, there's inevitability to be some sort of fracturing, etc. So I'll say that it's a good thing that I'm having a hard time keeping up with it all because it means there's so much of it going on. But I haven't been keeping up on it. I haven't been trying as hard. So I'm going to try and do better about that. And I do want to get some people on because like we had a Control Pew on back in the day, one of the first episodes I did with the Nexus, which was amazing. I was so nervous, but it came out really good. And I was really proud of that. We've tried to get Ivan on and it's just scheduling things. It hasn't worked out, but I still love to get him on too. That dude is young and like fucking brilliant, and I am like very impressed by people like that. So you know, I'd love to get him on at some point too. But yeah, I want to get back into it a little bit, man, because they are just coming out with some cool stuff. And what's really cool is, I don't know how we'd say this, the secondary market, like the people who are making like the reason we can make Glocks here and they can't in Europe, like we can go online and buy rails, right? We can print the 3D printed parts. We can go buy the little pieces that we need because there's people with machine shops who are making the accessories and the build materials, the kits, you know. I was working on an FGC9 and sourcing all the parts and materials like is tough. Like it's a lot of work. It's a lot of this and that, but there's dudes who they source them all in bulk and they put together a bag of all the screws and stuff you buy. So you don't have to buy 6 screws from this dude and 8 screws from this dude, 'cause that's what it takes otherwise. You know, so there's like this secondary market of people putting this stuff together to make it easier for you to do the builds. That is growing quite a bit. You know, there's right. A lot of companies making Glock rails and stuff so you can build your Glocks easily. So that secondary market is growing. So all that is very promising. It's funny because there's interesting stuff going on with like laws and things as far as guns and 3D printed guns and 80% lower kits. But it's just like, it's just all becoming so much more irrelevant because of this growth and the abilities of the 3D printed gun community. So it's just making it all so much more relevant to where it just tickles me. It really gets my Agorist bones, I don't know, however the rest of that would go, excited. Jumping.
It gives you an Agora boner.
An Agora boner. Yeah, let's do that. I like it. Yeah. So... so that's what I got, man.
All right, well, before you go for a bit, why don't you tell people about your project that's coming up on Odyssey?
Yes, so again, continue working that video thing. I've got, you're watching me on the fancy camera that I have for this stuff. I'm getting set up on my new computer that I have that I downloaded my video editing software today. So I'm very excited to get started on this and get back into that. I think I mentioned last time I was in video production in high school and I really enjoyed it. And I've kind of been looking to get back into some sort of video project for years. So I am going to make this happen and I'm excited to do it. I'm excited to bring you guys on my journey. I'm hoping I can help answer questions and help you guys with specific issues that you are having and help. I mean, that's obviously why I'm doing this. Is not just to show off my nonsense. It's because I want to help you people or anybody who wants to help become more self-sufficient and hence enhance your freedom. You know, there's the arguments sometimes like, oh, freedom doesn't mean freedom. Like if you don't get universal basic income, it makes you less free because you're not free to, you know, and I'm like, there's there's some truth to like that, that like freedom isn't just what the government allows you to be like in freedom. There's freedom that comes from being self-sufficient and having your needs met. So whatever we can do to help either meet those needs or reduce the amount of needs that you need, you know, then that is all excellent. So that's what we really want to do. So
also, given the fact that universal basic income would rely on something like a CBDC means that it's changed to your permanent identity and it doesn't make you any freer either, especially really, since the state can turn off your money if they don't like what you're doing or saying.
Yes. It would really reduce your freedom all around. And the same people who make that argument tend to be advocates of larger, more intrusive government. So it's, you know, it's silly, but there is some truth to the argument that, you know, yes, if you're poor, you're less free than somebody who isn't. Like, you probably have less freedom in your life to do the things you want to do. You know, so you don't have to be rich to gain that freedom if you can just be more self-sufficient. So that's sort of my, my thing there. So, and if you guys have anything that you want to do, like project wise, man, holler at me. You know, if you want to like,
or if you want to like come on our show, like you got a project that you want to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Well, it's even like if you want to do a worm bin, cool. Let's talk about doing. My wife just is doing a successful worm bin now, so we're going to talk about that. You know, I'm going to do some video content on that. I actually took some footage of it the other night, so you know, we'll do projects like that, and I will have her on because she does her lovely co-host do their show. Let's make some shit where it's they take you through. We make something today, so you know, stuff like that. I'm just really into. We're going to be having her and them on here before long too to talk about the show, and they will tell you how to make some cool stuff. But yeah, just that kind of thing, man. I've just really been I get really tired of a lot of the other nonsense and drama and like the episode we did today. I love everything we talk about, you know what I mean? But it's like, it's the practical skills are just really what I've just been really getting an agora boner for. We're gonna have to start making that a thing. So I really want to stretch my legs there, and I really want
to. You know, we're about to make shirts. Maybe I'll make an Agora Boner shirt.
Cool. Yeah, I'm down. I'd wear it. I'd wear it. So,
I'd have to make it Teespring safe, but there's a possibility.
are they really picky? Sorry, this we don't have to do this on air.
They can be.
Okay.
They
I wasn't sure
be.
If they were just sort of free reign.
They've specifically banned some of my shirts before. I'll put it that way.
Okay, cool.
But we'll see what they're like gonna ban at this point, because basically I'm gonna be running a storefront for Agoras Nexus here coming up. So feel free to keep an eye out and stay tuned.
Good. I'm glad you're doing that. I was gonna say we've been needing shirts for a while, so I was gonna take up the mantle. So I'm glad you did it, so I don't have to.
It's gonna be shirts. It's gonna be merch of a variety of sorts, because Teespring has a lot of them. It's not just Teespring anymore. They like changed their name to Creator Spring. So fucking whatever. I don't care. But like the point is that like there's gonna be a lot of stuff. So keep an eye out. Subscribe. Turn on notifications. Here's my finger pointing at you. I'm Uncle Sam.
I want you. Oh no, that's Smokey the Bear. No, that's only you. Never mind. Only you can help me hide the body.
Yeah, because Smokey Uncle Sam points like this. Mm-hmm. Smokey the Bear points like this. He's more like, gotcha. Only you can prevent forest fires.
Uncle Sam's from the hood.
Yeah. Going street style.
Yeah.
I said, motherfucker.
I said, get in the plane. We're going to fight some wars. So, all right, cool, man. You got a quote? We want to slap a bow on this puppy?
I do.
Cool.
I got another one that's probably going to annoy all the right people.
Perfect.
I have no master except the wind that blows free. Sonic the Hedgehog.
That was a quick one. Agoras Nexus out.
Yeah.
Peace. Join the revolution starting inside. An instrumental part of Agora Worldwide. Agora Worldwide. Agora Worldwide. Counter economics. Agorist drip. Black market click. Move a quick flip. Can't regulate this. Agorist drip. Black market click. Move a quick flip. Can't regulate this. Agorist. 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 Nexus. Agorist.